Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, we're just glad for everybody that's here and all of you that are watching. We appreciate it. And welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read something, and then we're going to go to a video that I'm going to announce that we're going to be a part of something, another prayer summit, healing summit in the next couple of weeks. And I really felt, I asked the Lord, I saw it, I wasn't sure, and then I asked the Lord today, and he said yes, he wanted us to be a part of it. So in a couple of weeks from now on a Friday night, I believe it's the August 14th, and I'm hoping that we'll just come in here and participate, and you'll get the announcement. You'll hear what Tim Sheets has to say about it. It's going to be a little bit different, but it's all going to wind up with prayer for the sick and believing God for miracles. And so I'll just invite you to, I'll just say this, please invite people to come, and if they need prayer, healing for their bodies, because the latter part of it will be that. Those of you that are watching even now, and we'll make some more announcements on this, if you have prayer requests that you want to send in that we can lay our hands over and pray for the healing of people and the sick, and so you can do that by getting on our website and go to a place where you can have type in prayer request. Or you can just mail it in to our snail mail address. But anyway, Sunday we were in Scripture. We were going through a number of, we went into some Old Testament. And really, the bottom line, we were talking about spiritual warfare and how praise affects the spiritual warfare. But it's amazing to me that God had me on that subject of spiritual warfare and how that praise affects the spiritual warfare. And we went to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and we're sharing the Old Testament story of Jehoshaphat and all the kingdoms that came against him and how that the Lord instructed him through a prophet to say, you're not going to need to do this, but praise and send forth the praisers in front of the army. And we went through that whole story. Just to identify that God, in the midst of their praising him, that he sent ambushments or confusion to the enemy and just wrecked the enemy. And this was way before the army ever got there. And so the story for us was that, again, just a little reminder that as we spend our time in worship and in praise, sometimes we don't feel like we're accomplishing much, but something is happening and we've got to see that taking place, and that our enemies, our spiritual enemies are crumbling. They cannot take. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou perfected praise. He was referring to Psalms chapter 8. And if you go to Psalms chapter 8, David the psalmist said, you have, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, has thou ordained strength that thou mayest still, and the word still is to quiet or to extinguish the enemy. And so we see that praise and worship has an incredible effect upon our enemy, our spiritual enemy, which is Satan and his cohorts, his demonic forces. But we also went to a place where we were showing you the, can I say it, the semantics that we drilled deep into, how does praise and worship actually affect satanic forces? Well, if you go to the hierarchy, if you go to the highest point, which is Satan himself, and he has this regime of demonic powers that he has unleashed against the church, and I would say especially against those that are revivalists that are praying in this worldwide harvest of a billion souls, a billion plus, I would say. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, I've got it in my spirit, but I've heard it said so many times by so many people that are, I believe, are prophetic, that in these last days we're going to see a billion soul harvest. And I believe we're already in that. But Ezekiel 28 gave us a picture of the created cherub that covered, which that's who Satan was, Lucifer, before his fall, and how that he was created, and it tells us with all this tapestry that he was created, this beauty, and because of the beauty that was part of his fall, he really became prideful. And it just the joy that praise gave the praise giving to God, the joy that it gave God, he began to envy that, and he began to turn himself into, rather than giving praise, he began to want that same praise and adoration, and because of it he fell. But there was a prophecy that the Lord said through the prophet, and he said, I will bring a fire out from the midst of thee. Internally, we saw the picture of an internal fire. And so what we were able to see out of that is there was quite a picture, and it was this. If you see that, if you can grasp it, that the very thing that he was created for now becomes his, his kryptonite, his destruction. God says, okay, I created you for praise, and there was a there's one word there. It said in your all these things that your these jewels were ornamental to you. I don't know how that really was. I'm not saying he had all these, the diamond, carbuncle, the beryl, the onyx, the sapphire, all these different ones, the emerald. I'm not saying they hung off of him, but some way the picture was symbolic of his beauty. But also something else is that the word says that the timbrel was created in him. And the timbrel, 17 times in the Old Testament, it talks about the timbrel, and it shares most every one of those times it says something to do with it's a created instrument of praise, or it's a created tambourine, but it creates praise. It gives praise unto God. So from that we understand that he is a created being. He is not all powerful. He is under God. God has subjected him now through Christ Jesus to the church. And as we worship Christ, that which was once part of what his makeup is, now has God has says, okay, you were created for worship. Now that you've rebelled and taken a third of the angels with you, your curse is this, that when you do hear praise coming from created beings that worship me and love me, it's going to be like a fire that just internally destroys you. Well, he doesn't like it, and we've got all kinds of scripture that show that it does something, it affects him. And of course, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, goes out and puts out incredible power against Satanist forces when we begin to worship God. I'm going to read something that I had read that I had sent out a few years ago, and it is a letter. I'm going to read the letter, and then we're going to watch this video and then come back in a little bit. But this particular letter, I believe, signifies, I wanted to remind us again that we are in a spiritual war. Now, we are in a place where there's a couple of dynamics taking place. We are dying. There's a dying process. We spend time praying in tongues, meditating the word, worshiping and fasting for the process of growing closer to Christ, and also for mortification, that we're dying to the flesh and falling more and more in love with Jesus every day. But not only is that dynamic taking place, that we do need to continue to mortify and give glory to God for this process of the dying process. But we also understand that there's another side of what we're facing. It's not just the flesh that we're facing. There really is a satanic side. There's demonic forces that have come to do whatever they can to halt the church. And we went through this a few years ago, but I thought the Lord wanted me to read it again tonight. And as I said, then we'll go into this video, because it's significant concerning spiritual warfare. And that's where we were at Sunday. So this is Behind Enemy Lines, and this is the May letter of 2023. If you will, just stay with me, and I'll read along. I find myself today within a group of people inside the church at large. This group is headed towards an actual spiritual place that we have never been before. This group also has no present-day living witness of the place that they're seeking. In other words, there's no pilot group as yet that can teach others how to arrive at this place. The only roadmap that we have in regards to arriving at our destination is the witness of the Word of God. Only the word records our destination in explicit details. Sometimes I see this group somewhat like Abraham, who, while wandering in the wilderness, was seeking a spiritual city that was beyond his present knowledge. Hebrews 11:10 says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." The destination that I'm speaking of is, of course, the spiritual outpouring that we term revival, and will ultimately bring about a great harvest of the planet. Inside of this revival are all of the recorded miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. There must be a demonstration of power of our gospel for the 21st century generation to believe that it's real. It really does. This modern generation has never seen the demonstration of power. And one of the reasons why that this message is so watered down is because the generation that is claiming, and there's mass conversions are taking place on our college campuses. There really is. I believe that. But then I also question, in some cases, if they're seeing the power of the restoration of what true born again means, and then the demonstration of that power through signs and wonders. And this generation needs to see that. It really does. And they're going to see that. And they're going to see it through you and I. The group that is quickly emerging are what I would call and term revivalists. These are the sons and daughters of God who have purged themselves of secret sins and are continuing to allow the Holy Spirit to mortify the remaining parts of the flesh, their flesh, in preparation for the great, great power and authority that will be wielded as a sword in these last days. This group has already fought the great war with the flesh to live their own lives, surrender to apostasy of the present-day church, or to believe the lie that revival will never happen. Now they are ready for the next and final war. Recently, the Lord spoke to me and said, "The war has changed." You remember that? When the Lord spoke that prophetically to me, I was out in the yard and the Lord began to speak to me that day. The Lord said, "The war has changed from flesh to devils. The revivalists have crossed a line from a warfare of flesh to a warfare of devils." He also said that generalized preaching of the word would never take this group to their final destination of revival without prophetic insight as to what was going on behind enemy lines. In other words, the church must have spiritual intel, from the Holy Spirit to know what Satan and his army of demonic powers will be unleashing against us to stop our march towards revival. Spiritual intel by the Holy Spirit to his prophets concerning enemy movement is nothing new. I'm reminded of the Old Testament example in the book of 2 Kings. The storyline is that Israel and Syria are at war with each other, but Israel had a prophet named Elijah from God, who could hear from God. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, it says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall my camp be, or I will make my camp. Continuing on, verses 9 through 12, it says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not in such a place, for hither the Syrians have come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once but twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now, God showed Elisha the troop movements of the Syrian army against Israel multiple times. The king of Syria was so enraged that he actually believed that he had a spy embedded in his army. But one of the king's counselors told him that Elisha, the prophet Elisha, was actually hearing the very words from God that the king spoke in his bedchamber, meaning his actual bedroom. What this means is that every whisper of counsel from the enemy against Israel was being reported. Israel had intel behind enemy lines. How much more will the Holy Spirit do for a group of people who have crossed a line from ways of always warring with the appetites of the flesh to a spiritual war with devils that will result in revival? And I got to pause right here and say this. When the Lord spoke this to me, he made it clear. He said there will always be a battle with the flesh. Always. We'll always have to mortify the flesh. Remember, don't trust your flesh for 30 minutes after you get to heaven. In other words, always know that it is susceptible. If Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that I keep under my body, lest I, having preached to others, become a castaway, that's a good living example for all of us to never rest on our laurels and say, I've gone as far as I need to go. But there does come a point where a lot of maturing church gets to the place where old things are old things and the enemy doesn't have the grip on them that he once had. But the Holy Spirit said this, because we're getting closer and closer to revival. Recently, the Lord shared with me a series of messages in which, now this was 3 years ago, and so how much more it's important for us to pay attention, in which he spoke to me personally concerning the troop movement of demons against the church, demon powers against the church. And as I said in these teachings, this is not an exhaustive list, but a specific list given to me by the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, in essence, that the enemy is going to come with a resurgence of certain attacks to try to subvert the confidence of the revivalist. His main objective will be to diminish their confidence and question themselves in their place of gained dominion over these areas. He would love to reseed these strongholds back into our lives if possible, if at all possible. This is the list below, and remember that these attacks do not necessarily have to be against you personally, but could and most likely will involve your family as well. Everybody with me? Okay, good. Okay, this is the list of the eight that the Lord, and this was really going to fight the church going forward. Okay. Spirits of infirmity. Okay. Not all sickness is from the devil, but there is, the Lord said there's going to be a resurgence of the enemy's going to really press, coming with spirits of infirmity against the body of Christ. Division. How many, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, how many have ever don't show hands, because this is, I'm going to say this is, this doesn't, this is not you, but maybe it is. How many of you ever got home, you're laying in bed, and you're thinking, why don't they like me? Why can't I can't communicate with that person? What's wrong? Hallelujah. As I said, I won't show any show of hands. Yammering spirits. If you begin to listen to them and reason with them, Pastor Dave said they will take a hangnail and they will kill you. They'll have you, it'll fester until you begin to think about, well, maybe they don't like me. Maybe something's wrong. What did I do? What's wrong with them? So spirits of division, and that's just to say, be careful. Immediately take casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:4, are not carnal, but are what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes. Okay. Division. Lust and perversions. Lust and perversions. Listen, you never get too old. You never get too dead. Keep under your body your imaginations. Amen. Another gospel. What's another gospel? Well, I don't think any of you are tempted to go join Islam or the Mormon church. What we face is, we've got to be careful to who we listen to, because the enemy can get us off 1 degree. Next year you'll be off 2 degrees, 3 degrees, and then you'll be like somebody that said, I never believed all this. You guys were kind of wrong in this area all along, and it just eventually will take people out. It's important to stay laser focused. Hallelujah. Diversions, lukewarm. Lukewarm can be complacency. Like, yeah, I know. I know Homer says it's important to come to church. I know Pastor says it's important. And listen, if you're watching, thank God you're watching. At least you're watching. But hallelujah. Let's be faithful to each other. Hallelujah. Mostly spending time alone with God. Excuses. And then number 8 was destruction of reasonings and emotions. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how you can answer this internally. How many of you things have come, and sometimes you don't even know what it is, but your emotions are just out of whack, and you feel like, why did I wake up today in this kind of this feeling? That, listen, not everything is chemistry of the body. Not everything is natural. There are spiritual warfares that are taking place, and we need to address them. Take care of your body. Think on things that are lovely, good, all those, that list. But there is a spiritual warfare out there. Amen. And he prophesied right after that, which I did not know he was going to do, but he did. The Wednesday after that sermon was preached on Sunday. Now, here's a few paragraphs, and then we want to get to our little short film or video. The Lord said, did I not say in my word and by my spirit that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, made up of carnal things, reasonings and perceptions of the flesh, being able to understand things through the mind or through those things perceived around you? But the weapons of your warfare are mighty through my spirit to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? Right here, truth. For know that the enemy is stirred up against this place and against your determination to walk in. But do not fear, little flock, for I have called you. And if I have called you, then I have exalted you to a place to rule and to reign with me, not only in the eternities to come, but present tense. Did I not tell you that to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? But this wisdom cannot come through a perception that comes through the outward senses. Do not trust in your outward senses. Do not trust or put stock in feelings, emotions, or reasonings of the mind. But I say unto you, judge all things by my spirit. Listen. Let peace, let the spiritual, your spiritual feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is the witness of peace inside of you, each one of you that follows me on this journey into the fullness of God. For humbling yourselves and denying the flesh or the mind the opportunity to reason all things out will be to separate yourself moment by moment when necessary. How sometimes you have to take authority over that thought moment by moment by moment until you extinguish it, make it go away. And step out of the fray and judge all things by my spirit, says the Lord. Say this, Lord, I see only by your eyes. I hear only with your ears. And I will confess only by your mouth, says the Spirit of the Lord. For the church at large gropes blind in the darkness, although they say they can see, but they live out of carnality, not just in the appetites of the flesh, but in the judgment of things around them, not seeing spiritual things or hearing by my spirit, but denying the flesh. I thought this was incredible how he said this. But denying the flesh is not just shutting down the appetites of the flesh, but denying the flesh is not giving it any room for spiritual judgment. It cannot sit on the court of spiritual judgment. It cannot sit in a place of jury to make any decisions. All final authority and all final decisions come from my spirit and out of my word, says the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm raising you up for this hour. Hear what the Spirit would say. Hear what the Spirit would say, for your weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They will exalt you. Mine is for you to walk in a constant peace. Know that when you feel yourself wavering in peace and feeling the effects of the hour, that you're not ruling entirely at the moment out of the spirit man inside, the spirit man inside of you. Regroup, says the Spirit of grace. Continue to regroup. And you'll learn this place of constant, continual, and everlasting peace, says the Spirit of grace. And by this time, and by this will be the which I will bring forth a great outpouring with people who against the enemy will stir up his vengeance, but it will not have no effect, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Good prophecy. Thank you, Jesus. So let's watch this, and it's kind of an invitation to let you know what's going to be going on that Friday night, and then I'll come back and say some more in just a little bit. Okay, I think we're ready. Okay, good.
Breaking news. I have a very important announcement to make concerning our healing summit, August the 14th. I felt for a couple of weeks now stirring in my heart that we should add an emphasis to that night. I didn't know what to do about that, but pray. I told Carol a couple of times, there's something stirring. I don't know. We'll just need to have the wisdom of the Lord about it. But I believe it's a call to of Holy Spirit to the real church, the true ecclesia, and we don't have much time to pull this off. But Holy Spirit, it's His idea, He'll help us. But I talked to Dutch about it Friday morning, and then we prayed about it. We talked again last night and believe that this is the Lord and that we should do this. And then Dutch text messaged the rest of the apostolic team that assists us and has assisted us at all healing summits. And they all agreed that this was the Lord. And so please listen, understand, and be in prayer with us and participate. This war with Iran has many people concerned, obviously. We've been praying about it on Wednesday nights for months when I lead prayer online on Wednesday nights. And Dutch has been talking about it on his Give Him 15s, and many others have focused on it. We are dealing with more than a natural realm enemy there in Iran. Yes, they are a natural enemy, they're deranged. But it's more than that. I believe we are dealing with the kingdom of darkness that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. We are dealing with the demon prince of Persia, just as Daniel had to deal with when in captivity in the Babylonian Empire. Babylon, of course, part of that includes modern-day Iran. It's clear that we are dealing with this evil prince and demon powers in high places of hell's kingdom. They're seeking to disrupt the United States of America, disrupt Israel and the entire Middle East, and cause chaos and financial hardship worldwide. I believe this is being attempted by this demon prince and those that assist him to disrupt the greatest outpouring of Holy Spirit ever, to disrupt the greatest revival ever, and the billion soul harvest that we've been declaring. Now, yes, we have the greatest military in the world, greatest in history. We have great men and women, war fighters, and our leaders in America, our generals, our military leaders are awesome. Our president has done a great job. His administration have done a tremendous job. It's been excellent. And they have degraded Iran's war fighting abilities in devastation and ruin. But the ideology behind the nation is still being driven by demons. It's still at work, seeking to maintain control. So in many ways, this is also a spiritual war, more than just a natural war. Now, this is where the ecclesia, the true church, comes in. I believe we must engage in spiritual warfare. We must engage the spiritual battle. We are being called at this moment to rise and be the church Jesus described in Matthew 16, 18, and 19. I will build my church, ecclesia, and the authority of hell will not prevail against it. I will give my ecclesia the keys to the kingdom, and whatever it binds in my name or looses in my name will be done for them by the kingdom of heaven. This demon attack seeking to intimidate our world must be bound, I believe, by the King's ecclesia in His name. And so, we are calling for the ecclesia to convene with us on August the 14th at 7 o'clock. Yes, we are still going to pray for the sick as we always have done. We will be doing that on that night, praying for healings and miracles. The entire team, is here, and we will lay hands on you. We're not going to, you know, just speed through. We're going to listen, and we're going to pray for you. And host churches around the nation that are hosting that night online and calling people in their regions to come for prayer. That's still on. After we deal with this situation, we're still going to pray for the sick. You say, well, that'll be about 3 hours long. Yes, maybe longer. But we're going to do it. But we are asking, here's our request. All churches, prayer ministries, intercession groups, would you also sign up for this and show this night of aggressive spiritual warfare at your location? Show it on your screens. Gather, and we only have about 3 weeks to pull this off. I know that, but we can do it. Gather people from your area to come and pray against this evil in our world, this work of darkness. Gather the saints in your regions together at your altars and call out to God. We will lead it from here as we led all the healing summits. The praise and worship will go from here. The team will lead. We will declare the prophetic words. We'll give exhortation. We'll lead it. But would you show it at your location? And would you then call the saints there to engage in battle? Now, we've had 80, 90 churches do this for the Healing Summit. We will allow a lot more than that. All over, every state, everywhere, every nation. Now, I don't care who you are. We welcome you to be a part of this. And we will engage. The praise team will engage and open the heavens, keep it open, and we're going to engage hell like I believe the ecclesia is called to do. Would you join us? Churches everywhere, prayer teams everywhere. If you will, please go online and sign up and give us your contact information so that we can post it, and people in Arizona or wherever know, oh, I can go there and be a part of this great prayer effort. Also, those of you that would do that, would you consider also praying for the sick that night as well? But you can be, it's autonomous. You release what you want. Because of this what I believe is a Holy Spirit call, we will no longer be asking for you to register to attend the Healing Summit. If you've already done so, no worries. It'll be automatically put back to your credit card. You don't have to do anything. It'll happen. If you paid cash, the cash will be available next Sunday. You can get your return. Why are we doing this? Because we want everyone that possibly will or can to be a part of this night. Just come. Come from Indiana, West Virginia. Come from everywhere. Come from other states. And we know that that's going to happen. Also, we know that there are major ministries, pastors, teachers, apostles, and prophets that are going to hear this call, and they will be here. I mean, this is going to be a powerful night. There will come. But we just want it open. You come. If you can't get in, you can pray outside, because we're going to get this done. But yes, we are going to pray for the sick, just like we said we're going to do. We're going to pray for it in the host churches, and we're going to pray for it in hospices everywhere, just like we always have done. But this is an intentional night. This is a very bold night. The ecclesia must accept the assignment. If you say, well, I'm just not much into this spiritual warfare thing, then I wouldn't recommend you come. Because the team that I run with will be very, we will go for it. We will go for it. Now, we don't have much time, so help us spread the word. Spread it to your pastors, but be respectful. Don't be bossy. Just inform them. Also, Dutch will begin talking about this beginning next Tuesday on his Give Him 15s. So you're going to start to hear a lot about this. The other guys are also going to be talking about it. So pay attention to assignments that we may be giving or updates the next just 3 weeks or so. You say, well, what if the war ends before we get to Friday night? Well, then we're going to shout and praise God. And then we're going to pray for revival in the Middle East. We're going to pray for a revival in America. We're going to pray for awakening. And we're going to gather at the altars and call out to God for the third great awakening to explode. So, churches, please get hold of this. There's no charge. Just show it on your screens and say, let's come and pray. And again, help register online with us so we can help you promote it. We'll put the list on there so people know I can go there. Of course, you can just watch online. And obviously, we want this house full of faith-filled people. Again, those of you that say, I really was coming for prayer that night. I need a miracle. Will you come? The only thing we've added is more authority in the room. Lord only knows who will finally pray for you. We are very serious about being intentional about what God says. He interrupted this. I knew he was. And now, time to obey. So we are obeying, and I believe the body of Christ is going to respond. I believe you're going to hear God say, you be a part of that. So, anyway, that's the breaking news. It broke about 9 o'clock last night. So we don't even have a name for it yet, so we'll get one. We'll get one. But we're going to start blasting this everywhere. All right. So,
hallelujah. All right. So we are going to ask you to come, obviously. You might think, well, I can just watch this at home and pray, but that's not what it's about. God has been speaking to us to come and be a part. Pastor Jim, I was watching his recent service, and it's just like God is saying, you need to assemble. You really do. There's something about it. And so we will be a registered church for this area. You've already got that. Harry's already registered. And hopefully we get some people come in here that are from Naples or someplace else that maybe are watching Dutch Sheets and are familiar with Tim or whatever. But everybody here that's here, you know, I don't see anybody that I wouldn't say that I would ask each one of you to lay hands on somebody. If we had, I hope we have a more than what we could possibly expect in the natural. And so, all of you come, pray with us. There will be some spiritual warfare, as he said, and praying for our nation and praying for, you know, whatever God is going to say concerning the Iran war. And then also we're going to pray for the sick. We'll probably, I don't know, they may have so many people that they go for hours. Now the Holy Spirit may get on to me after this, and that's okay. We'll go to at least 10, and it'll start at 7. We'll go to at least 10, and then we'll look at it and see what does he say after that. So, amen. Hallelujah. Come and be a part of it. And I think that's what he wants to do for tonight. So let's all stand. Blessings, Father, bless. Thank you that we're headed towards a place. Oh, God, it's going to be so good. It's already good. And we just love you so much. You're so wonderful. Father, we love you. We love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. We thank you for your love to us. Amen. We love you. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.